Hello and welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Victoria.
And I'm Hannah.
And simply put, we review cookbooks. We take one book for each episode and both cook a couple of dishes, then discuss what we liked, more likely what we didn't like, and give it a rating out of 5. Like all the best recipes, it's pretty simple.
And if you love what we do, we're now on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help cover the podcast costs from the books themselves, the ingredients of what we cook, and in return you'll get some fun stuff. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now for the podcast. Hello, Victoria.
That was songful.
Melodic.
Songful, is that a word? Hello, Hannah.
How are we?
We are good. We are both hot in the temperature sense and
physical sense. And in every other sense, I would argue. Yeah.
We are experiencing the heat wave that is taking over Europe, thanks global warming.
And, you know, great timing for this book as well, right? Like,
yes.
Heat waves and baking do not, they're not mates,
they
are they?
They are not mates.
As I know by, you know, this morning setting off the fire alarm in my building with trying to bake some bread at 8 a.m. That's just not going to happen. I think it was because the oven was, like, it's everything's, you know, operating at a heat level, yeah. But it doesn't, it's like, it's just not okay.
Is that just your way of meeting your new neighbours, really?
Yeah, pissing them off.
Let's all meet at the fire alarm point. Hi, I'm Hannah.
Hey, guys. Have you all got your high-vis jackets? Oh, I was going to give them the bread. That was the thing. Oh, instead, I just woke them up early on a Sunday morning.
Why don't you just give them the dough and the instructions and be like, maybe your oven's better than mine.
God bless. Anyway, what you been doing? What you been loving?
Apart from, you know, sweating and, you know, hoping for the winter. So as we know, I have a child now. And that involves walking a lot.
Same one.
Yeah. No extra ones.
Cool.
So it means I walk a lot. And what that means for me is that I just, you know, find different, you know, I decide what different supermarket or shop that I want to go that day to. Yeah. Like, poor Marcus doesn't get a look in, you know, we're never doing anything fun. But I walked to this great, what turned out to be an absolutely amazing charity shop the other day. Huge. It was like YMCA one. Yeah. And it was like stepping back in time. Like, I don't know where they were getting all this stuff from. Everything from, like, you know, you expect like the bric-a-brac, you know, and the home stuff to like be old school in a charity shop.
But, yeah,
like,
quite 70s.
Yeah. I feel like in most charity shops around here and in London, like the cookbooks, for example, or like the clothes, they're all like fairly like modern.
Standard.
Yeah. You know, a lot of Jamie Oliver, a lot of Gordon Joe Ramsay. Wicks. Yeah. A lot of Joe Wicks, a lot of like Davina McCall's, like weird, like, you know, weird celebrities.
Food for abs.
Yeah. Going into things. But this one, all these books were like from the 70s and
I love it.
Yeah, it was amazing. They had about 4 copies of like the St. Michael Quick Cooks book, and St. Michael is like the Marks and Spencer's
brand.
Yeah, that used to be called like their homeware. And then like the Illustrated Book of Oriental Food or whatever, like really old school, like, you know, pictures are like a novelty.
The 70s just love calling everything like the Orient.
Yes.
Or like the Far East.
And all it is like spring rolls. But then I found the magazine section, which was even more exciting. And someone had given them like all of these old, really old, like from the 70s, like food magazines. You know, like you could collect them, like you get a binder and week by week, it's like it makes a whole like cookbook. And like, so some of them were there, like holes punched in them. And I just bought them all. And the woman gave me like 8 or no, not 8, like 6 for like 50p.
Oh,
and
God.
One is, it's called like Look and Cook or something. Hold on, let me find it and tell you what it's called. Yeah, Look and Cook.
Look and cook.
Yeah.
What? So you look at the magazine and then you cook? Is that really?
I think so. Yeah. Because in them there's like pictures of the method to eat, like for each one, like very old school, like, God, here's how you start and here's how you finish. Just to say, that's not look and cook with an N.
Oh.
That is look, apostrophe N, cook. Look and cook. Like looking.
Look and cook.
I don't know what that word's supposed to be. There's no apostrophe after the N.
Oh, so, interesting. So it's not like R&B.
No, it's not like R&B or fish and chips. It's
rock and roll.
Nope. And I also bought Marguerite Patton's Perfect Cooking, which is a different thing. So that's cool. That one is incredible. It has like, that's also from a set, but they just had the one, and it has like meals for kids in it. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing, because we have just started weaning. And I was like, oh, let's see if there's anything for. No, it's a lot of liver.
Oh God.
But there's 25 quick snacks in there, not for kids, but just for anyone. And there's one called Kidney Scramble. It's kidney and scrambled eggs. Yeah.
Oh God.
Okay. There was one called Sausage Surprise.
I feel like a sausage surprise is never going to end well.
No. I mean, there's a lot of sausages in these books. The one from the binder with the potatoes, it's like a whole potato one, is amazing. Yeah. There's a whole section of like, I forget what the name is, but basically you put like mashed potato in a piping bag and like make little nests out of them.
Yes, I love that shit. I love it. And then do you like reheat it, or what do you do with it?
I think
then?
So, why? Yeah. So you like, I guess you need it to be like structurally sound, so you can put like probably aspic in the middle of it or something.
Or some kidneys. Yeah. More liver.
Your kidney scramble in the middle.
Gross. What we need to do is we need to put them on Instagram, and then people tell us if they have them.
Yes.
I bet, like, from your mom or like granny or whatever, I bet people have some really good vintage shit.
Yeah.
That stuff.
I'm going to go back there so much and just buy all the stuff, because it's great. And like, I'd be so in, it's interesting just look at like what British people were eating in the 70s, yeah, or like what was, you know, the height of cool.
I would love to have a dinner party that was like all that weird shit, but it's just so hard to get the veggie stuff, right?
Yeah. Also, so many microwave cookbooks end up in charity shops, don't they? I guess like from the 70s, like, oh, cook your whole dinner party in the microwave. It's like a new way. I guess that will be in 10 years' time, like air fryers, right?
Air fryer
cookbooks will be.
Because like slow cookers were really big a couple of years ago as well, right? Like, and it's just like, would you like some unidentified brown mush by the time you return from work?
It's all I get on TikTok, like weird American, sorry, Americans, you're not weird, but like Americans putting too much like cream cheese in the slow cooker and making something unidentifiable.
If Vic was a politician, one of her policies would be less cream cheese in cooking on TikTok and recipes in general. Like, it's a weird,
just ban it. Ugh,
it's very overpowering. It's quite a strong flavor. Did I tell you I used to dollop some on my Goodfellas pizza when I was a teenager?
Wow.
That's a weird thing, right? Yeah. It would go like crispy on the outside, but then the inside would stay like creamy.
Oh, so you'd cook.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Not interesting. Like, well, interesting, but gross.
Mm. I mean, you all got gross, you know, things from our childhood that we, you know, don't want to go there.
There's a whole episode on like weird shit that you eat on your own.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
As well.
All day.
I ate weird, weird things. Anyway, that could have just all been one person's haul, right? That,
yeah.
You know, that's the
thing
about
charity shops. They moved house or died.
Wow. Keeping it light and fluffy here.
They also had so this wasn't in the cookbook section, but it was in like the craft section, because that looked amazing if you're into like crafts as well, like loads of like old like knitting shit.
Yeah.
They had this like box of recipe cards that obviously someone had collected. And the top recipe I saw in there was black pudding with apples, your favorite.
Black pudding
and apples, the classic combination.
But is that not like, I feel like that's a Michelin star shit that you would see on a menu. Oh, yeah. Like pork.
The one next to it is lettuce soup.
Oh mate, so what is
that's
lettuce?
For the veggies.
Christ, yeah. You guys enjoy all your black pudding apples and we get to eat liquidized. I mean, lettuce is effectively, what, 90% water anyway?
Almost celery soup.
God, us veggies have been persecuted for a long time, haven't we?
It's hard out there.
But.
What?
That's not the book we're talking about today.
Although, maybe I did make a black pudding and apple pie. That sweet and savoury hit.
That's making me feel a bit ill, actually. We are talking about Ravneet Gill.
Ravneet Gill.
Our little friend Rav. And the Pastry
Chef's
Guide. I wish she
was my friend.
You know how I love to say how I saw Nigel Slater across the bookshop.
Yeah.
And I saw Otto Lengi in Covent Garden before.
Mm-hmm. You're a stalker. We get it.
Ravneet, I've actually spoken to in real
Have
life.
Have you?
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
She's a babe. Didn't you? At one of her Counter Talk events. I went to one of them in person before COVID ruined everything. And she's just lovely. We'll get to that. But she runs these great events to like connect people in hospitality and who are interested in food. I just walked into the room and she could see when people walked in on their own and then would like, you know, just go over to them and introduce them to somebody. And just what a babe. I think we're going to be girl crushing a bit in this one, aren't we?
Yeah. But I guess we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Great hair. Is that what you're going to say? She's
great hair, great nails. Well, no, I was going to say we could probably pick, like, if anyone wants to play along at home, Hannah's Cordon Bleu bingo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna try and not, you know, I'm going to try and not. But there's just so much in this book that reminded me of pastry.
Well, yeah, it's a pastry school book. Yeah. I mean, we'll forgive you, don't worry.
Well, you know, you might not. We'll check in at the end of the episode on that one. So this book is Ravneet Gill's first book, and it's The Pastry Chef's Guide. She has another one called Sugar, I Love You, which is a great name. I really like that, especially in a world of demonizing all the fun things. So she is 31. Not that that's relevant, but you know, you're always just a bit gutted when people are younger than you and doing really well. God damn it, Ravneet. Anyway. So apparently when she was 14, an astrologer told her mother that Ravneet would work in the food industry.
Oh.
And at the time, she was a really fussy eater and this seemed ridiculous. She, in uni, didn't study food. She did a psychology degree.
The degree that people do when they don't know what to do at uni and they just need to go. Right, I feel like
just want to get out of home.
Yeah, you're like, look, we're all from that generation that everyone went to uni. Tony Blair for me wanted, not for me particularly. Tony Blair wanted for me to go to uni, and all of my classmates.
He was a big Vic star.
He was like, have all the loans that you need. Go to uni. Doesn't matter what you study.
What did you study?
In the end, Japanese. But.
Only Japanese
and business studies. But I went to uni with the plan. Well, it's a long story, but I went to uni with the plan to be an engineer.
Wow. I didn't know this.
And before that, I was going to do music. So I'm I'm a man and woman of very many talents.
Global women.
I'm a global woman of many talents.
Wow, I learned something new about you.
What did you study at university?
I studied journalism. Lol. Okay, and then like graduated in a recession when, you know, there were no paid journalism. I mean, there's very few full-time paid journalism jobs now, but also because there's so many people could do like unpaid internships and stuff and I just didn't. But I mean, I also had down on my CAO form, which is the Irish like uni college application thing, to be a veterinary nurse.
Oh, cool.
But I decided I couldn't deal with seeing sick animals. Thought I'd be a journalist instead. I think it was Carrie Bradshaw notions, and then I got into marketing and then baking, and now here we are. So it's all gone really well.
That's it. I've got into fundraising and here I am.
But enough about us.
Anyway, Rav's psychology degree. I mean, we've all, there you go. Nobody. She didn't do anything to do with food. We didn't do anything to do with food. And look at us all now.
Yeah. And where did she study for her food pastry degree?
Oh, the Cordon Bleu. I was like, for uni? I don't know.
That was Southampton.
Oh, right.
She can be my mastermind subject. Yes, she did. She studied at Cordon Bleu. And then she worked in loads of different restaurants all over London, most notably St. John, which gets mentioned quite a lot in this book. Black Axe Mangle, Wild by Tart. I never know how to say this word. Llewellyn.
Yeah.
So obviously she kind of cut her teeth in loads of different kitchens, and then she's diversified into doing quite a few different things. So in 2018, she set up Counter Talk, which was what I was talking about, one of the events I went to. So it's a platform that's meant to bring chefs together, educate, promote healthy work environments. I feel like on their Instagram, they talk a lot about things about pay issues or your annual leave, because obviously kitchens are just a bit of a, I don't know, like wild land of no HR.
Yeah.
And she's trying to promote healthier working conditions, which I love. And she holds lots of kind of industry talks on like setting up a food business or getting into, you know, being a chef and what to do, and even things like social media. We went to an online social media one, didn't we?
Yeah.
She's a babe, yeah.
She knows everyone.
Yes, she does know everyone. But wouldn't...
Yeah.
That's what she does. I feel like she's a good relationship person. Mm. Counter Talk has just launched Spaces as well, which is like their venue finder for events, which is great. And I really think we should use that for our next supper club.
Yeah.
So yeah, so she released this, her first cookbook in April 2020. And it's a handbook to dispel the fear around baking and kind of break things down and, you know, to simple steps and not be scary. There's lots of like diagrams and not many photos, actually, is there?
Yeah, there's a couple of like glossy, like pull out pages of like a spread, right?
Yeah,
like
quite of retro cake. Styling as well.
Yeah, which is really beautiful, but it's not that. Yeah, that's not teaching you anything. It's just pretty.
Yes, just like me. I wish.
Just a pretty face.
We'll come back to the book. She's a columnist for The Telegraph. That she is their resident baking columnist. And she writes for other people like The Guardian, Observer, Courier Magazine. She's a judge on Channel 4's Junior Bake Off with Liam Charles, was in The Bake Off, and Harry Hill. She launched Puff Pastry School in 2020. It's called Puff. And it's a pastry school. It's not Puff Pastry School with Nicola Lamb. And remember, they had those pop-ups during lockdown as well. And we wanted to go to them, but the queues were just insane.
Yeah, it was just before lockdown, I think, right? It was like early 2020. And it was only on a Sunday in East London. And like, I was like, we've got to go. But like the queues... And we would never have got anything. Like, we'd have to have been there at like 5 a.m. and like, good luck getting anywhere at 5 a.m. on a Sunday morning in London.
But this is just how influential she is in London. I mean, you don't see that. I know the kind of people would think that happens all the time, that you have to queue for shit like that. And you do, but like, it doesn't happen to that level. She's very, she's got good connections to Zara Rav. She now teaches, so that Puff School still seems to have some lessons online. And it's cool, like you can do like a course or you can just learn an individual dish, which seems fun. And then it says like that you can email them any of your issues and they're around Monday to Friday. I just like that idea. But now she's also got this Damson Jelly Academy, which I think is her school. And that's got some pastry lessons up there as well, which looks really fun. I mean, she's just all about teaching as well, I guess, not dissimilar to Molly or Molly Baz or people like that. She's trying to dispel the scariness around pastry. Yeah, it's quite funny. When I Googled her, one of the first results was from The Sun. And the headline was, "Who is Ravni Gillen? Is she married?" Fuck off.
Married to her work.
God.
Terrible women.
Anyway, so also I think worth mentioning is Ravneet is very active on Instagram, and she posts about her granny loads, which is just the best content. Right now her granny is her Instagram profile picture. Yeah. She calls her Bidgie, and she's just all about, she's just a hilarious woman who loves to just sleep lots and loves like foot massages and stuff, and yeah. and just they just seem to have the cutest relationship. If you don't so follow nice. Avni, do follow
yeah,
her.
Do.
She's bloody great.
Well, so she has a beautiful house, doesn't she? In, yeah. in London, like, oh, it's gorgeous. Also, why is your kitchen so tidy all the time?
I remember her posting about moving into that flat, and she was saying that she has grafted so hard to earn it, and I just really respect that. And she yeah. like lived at home for a bit, but she was working around. She seems to work a lot, yes. right? She's always doing collaborations. She's just always out and about.
She does on her Instagram like a things I've done this week, and like on a Sunday or a Monday for the previous week, and I'm always like, oh my god, I'm dizzy. Like you.
Yeah.
She was in Bristol the other week. That was just one day. And then the day before she was on TV. And then, oh my God. And it's just like, how are you doing this all?
You know what? I think she doesn't, you know, you're not a big drinker, but I like booze. And I think she doesn't drink.
Yeah.
I think in life that might be the key to getting loads of stuff done. Look, just look at J-Lo.
And also she's not married.
Yeah, that's you know? True. That gives you time.
Men will do that
yeah,
to
Yeah, men
you.
And kids take up your time, don't they?
Yeah, fuck them. Sorry, cut that out. Love you, guys. My man and kid are hanging out together right now so I can record this podcast.
So I enjoy my man as a phrase. R&B. look and cook. Vic over here.
Look and cook.
Look and cook. That's all on rap. There's no, this, you know, there's no drama. There's no goss. There's no juice. She's just a hardworking gal who wants you to learn how to bake
with great fucking hair.
And the
man.
Nails. Like, did I say the nails? The nails are good.
You said the nails, but fuck me. Like
good clothes. Good clothes and good style in general.
Yeah, good everything. She's often on like Saturday and Sunday morning TV here, mm-hmm. and we love to see it.
Yeah,
but like. My god, her hair, like, how'd you get it so shiny? Like, if you love sugar so much, why is it so shiny and so beautifully? And oh god, I love it.
Beautifully done.
International beautifully.
And
also I really do have to stop commenting on these women that we're talking about and how they look and stuff, yeah. but I can't not comment on Rav's hair.
We're all like, fuck the patriarchy, and then we're like, oh, but isn't she lovely? Doesn't she have lovely hair?
Isn't she beautiful?
Such a beautiful guy. How does she do it all?
No, she does not marry, that's why.
Oh man. So first impressions of the book.
You? Took me by surprise. I thought we were going to go on talking about people's nice hair.
as we both sit here with like fucking top buns, just trying to cope in this heat. Anyway,
yes,
top bun gals.
That's this book.
Top bun should be like. I'm sure someone's done a like riff on that with Tom Cruise with the top bun. Sorry,
it's my bakery of the week.
Top bun, yes.
I've never seen Top Gun.
God. Haven't you?
No,
it's great.
Yeah.
Well, the 80s one is great. Apparently the new one
is
great.
Yeah, people love
too,
that. But... Anyway, this is relevant.
Sorry.
it is cute, very much smaller than your average cookbook. And she talks about that, doesn't she, in the prologue about how she mm-hmm. wants it to be handbag sized.
Love that.
Yeah, I love that too.
Great photography, what there is of it.
Also, what great teeth she has.
I know, honestly.
Yeah, I liked it. I was excited by it, actually, because, yeah, it's just a bit different to what we've done before. And it's obviously not your standard, like, here's 100 recipes, etc.
Yes. Especially since you have been excited about baking since watching Bake Off The Professionals. It's the perfect...
Yes.
The perfect follow-up to
yeah.
that, right?
And I felt like I wanted to, and did, for the most part, read it like a book, like... What a stupid thing to say. But what I mean is, I started at the beginning and I worked my way through it. Whereas with a normal recipe book, I wouldn't do that. I would, you know, dive into the middle and have a look, you know, look through the content, you know, etc.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, how I read. I start from the left hand side of the page and I read a lot. Yeah. And so, but I thought that it was worth doing that for this one. And I feel like I, because it's like a building thing, right?
Yes.
Like you build on your skills as you would at the Cordon Bleu, mm-hmm. but I've not been, so maybe you could enlighten this.
I mean, I don't think you need to go if you have this book, to be perfectly honest.
Ooh, she said
I've been sitting on that line for a while. No, genuinely, I don't think you do. I think everything that you learn at pastry school is in this book, and in a lovely kind of accessible way. It's just, she breaks down kind of the theory of stuff and talks about individual, you know, ingredients like yeast and, you know, the quantity of fresh yeast to dry in recipes. And then she gives you all the different sugar points. And like, that is just, that's the shit you learn at school, man. Like it's and all the kind of fundamentals are there in terms of like what pastries you do and kind of ice cream and cakes and macaron and meringues, puff pastry. Like that's how it's all broken down there as well. I mean, obviously she went, so she's going to build on that. But yeah, I'll save yourself a few grand.
Buy this book. You got it secondhand as well, didn't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Got it on Amazon.
Little website called
Jeff Bezos's moneymaker. Oh, what did you make? What did you bake?
what did you make?
Looking, cooking, making bacon.
Looking, cooking, chicken cooking. Also, can I say what I liked about it?
No. Okay. You can't. Tell us what you made.
So I cooked.
No, tell us what you like. Go on. You must. Go on. Sure, we'll indulge.
Because of the way it's set up as like a, you know, it's teaching you how to do pastry, not just it's a load of recipes. It means that there's not that many, here's the recipe, go ahead and make it.
Yes.
Obviously, what I did is I found the ones that were like that and made those ones because I was scared, but it's okay. But I liked that. I liked it. She's very much like, hey, this is how you make this pastry. This is the kind of things you could put inside this tart or this cake or this pastry. And but you know, go with what's seasonal. Go, you know, test different flavors. I'd like to see you. She's very friendly, isn't she? In the way that she writes, calls you babes.
Yeah, calls you babes, and it's just like, it's not that hard, okay, babes. I love that. There's a nice tone. I think that. That's what I found a little bit hard when I was trying to find what to make, was just like, you would see, I don't know, puff pastry or something. Obviously, I wasn't going to make puff pastry in this heat, even though it is a fun kind of project thing to make. But then, like, there's not many recipes for what to do with the puff. She does say, what can you do with it? You could do mince pies or you could do sausage rolls or stuff. She doesn't give you recipes for those, and that's fine. But also, it's just that can be challenging too if you're just like lacking a bit of inspiration. Yeah. She does suggest making these deep fried apple pies that she compares to the McDonald's apple pies, and I really want to make them. They sound really, really good.
Everybody loves a McDonald's apple pie, don't they?
Are they smaller now than they used to be?
I don't know. I haven't bought one for ages.
No, me neither.
In Japan, did you know I lived in Japan?
No.
They have apple pies, but they also have bacon and potato pies.
Shut the front door.
And they're so good. And then seasonally, because McDonald's everywhere else in the world is much better.
Bacon
isn't
always
UK.
In season, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, they change their menu. So sometimes they'll have like a chocolate and custard pie or, you know, some fun shit like that, which never changes in the UK because McDonald's here sucks compared to when you go anywhere else in the world. But that's a whole other episode. Let's do an episode on McDonald's. That
oh, yeah.
Fun.
Well, I don't know if I'd be great at that because I don't, for they were shit with veggie burgers for a long time and I don't adore the McPlant. So, no. You know, I will say they serve beer in the ones in Portugal and I like that.
That's it.
That I like. Okay, we digress.
Anyway, this is not like this us. Is irrelevant. What did I make?
What did you make?
What did I make? So I made three things.
Did you? You little,
I did.
Sly little dog. We were talking yesterday.
But two of them are basically the same thing. So, well, okay. They're not, but they're... Anyway, it's irrelevant. I made three things. So the first thing I made was the carrot cake.
Hey!
Because I was like, I'd like to do something a bit simple to like ease my way in. Spoiler alert, after what we said last week, or on last episode, I didn't make any custard.
Okay, that's okay.
I wanted to. I thought about it. I'll tell you what I almost made at the end. But yeah, so I made carrot cake. And nice. She talks about how this... And the recipe for her banana cake, which I also made, are very similar. So basically what happened was, I wanted to make the banana cake. Mm-hmm. I had some bananas going a bit brown. And I was like, right, I'm going to get the stuff to make a banana cake. And I got to the shop and I was with my husband. And I was like, oh, I'm going to make the banana cake because we've got those bananas. And he was like, oh, I just ate one of those bananas.
So we didn't have enough bananas
that were right. So I was like, fuck it then. I'll get the stuff for the carrot cake. So very fun. She uses oil instead of butter.
Yeah, love that.
Which is interesting and fun. She puts a load of coconut in it, desiccated coconut, which I'm not sure. I've never made a carrot cake before, I don't think.
My favourite thing is when you try to type desiccated coconut on a phone and it says dedicated coconut. And I was like thinking about some really dedicated coconut.
They're dedicated to the cause. Dedicated to bonking you on the head.
I'm going to add some flavour to this carrot cake.
So basically, it's a kind of all-in-one thing. You put eggs and sugar into your stand mixer. Also, what I really like is that she, whenever you're using a stand mixer, she'll tell you what attachment to use. And I feel like that does, I feel like in a lot of other books, when it comes to baking, they just expect you to know.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah, she assumes nothing, does Rav.
Yes, yes. And then you just put the eggs and sugar, whisk that up a bit, put the oil in, and then you've obviously got a grate load of carrots, which is annoying, but fine.
Oh, I hate that. I hate grating. I've talked about it before, but anyway.
Yeah, I did a lot of grating for this book. And then you put your coconut, raisins, obviously carrot, cinnamon, nutmeg. That's me doing a folding motion. And then into a loaf tin and into the oven. And that was it. Very lovely. Not that sweet.
Any icing? No cream cheese icing.
No, this is my one thing about this. I guess because it's supposed to be like a simple thing that you just like whip up. She doesn't give any... She doesn't give any kind of indication as what you should put on the top or, you know, an icing or a, and that's what it needed. It needed something like that.
Yeah.
I think I put a little bit of icing sugar on the top, but it didn't cut it.
Yeah.
And I obviously didn't have any cream cheese in there, so I couldn't make any icing.
Well, this is the one time we're condoning cream cheese, right? Not on a Goodfellas pizza.
Yeah, I liked it. It was nice. She uses wholemeal flour instead of, plain.
Yeah, sounds almost, you know, verging on healthy.
Yeah, breakfasty.
Breakfasty. Those kind of cakes, I know what you mean. I quite like to, when they're a bit too, like, not decadent enough, I like to toast them and cover them in butter.
Yeah, I mean, did I toast mine and put some peanut butter on them? Yeah, I did.
Oh, yes.
Nice. Yeah. So.
This is more like a carrot loaf.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah.
Nice.
The banana cake is very similar. But she uses half oil, half butter for the banana cake.
Interesting.
She says to put pecans in it, but there's a cost of living crisis, so I put chocolate in.
Chocolate's not much cheaper, to be fair. And we know that pecans are the superior peanut.
They are the superior peanut. Yes, so it's just dark brown sugar, caster sugar, oil, butter, mushy bananas, pecans. I put chocolate in. Cinnamon, baking powder, plain flour for this one. This one, which I imagine is like this, should create the same volume, created so much cake. Like, so I made it in, so when you see my pictures, we put the pictures on Instagram, I made it in a silicone loaf tin because that's all I have of this size. It's just like the middle is so girthy because it just like, spread out so big, and so it's more like a, I don't know, like a diamond shape.
Oh man.
It was really big, but the carrot cake wasn't. The carrot cake fitted perfectly, stayed in that position. So yeah, that was strange, but fun. There's a lot more carrot cake than I expect. No, banana cake than I expected. And who doesn't love banana cake, right? I don't think it was anything different to any other banana cake that I've ever made or eaten, but it was great.
Would we say it is a banana bread?
I mean,
I find this interesting, as only I might.
I mean, what is... Do we just say banana bread because it's alliterative?
I think so. I think maybe we do. And it's bullshit.
In Molly's book... Right.
Yeah.
She has a banana cake, and she calls it banana cake, not banana bread.
Oh, she would.
Did you see that? Okay. Cool.
No, I'm just leaning into us taking the piss out of Molly. We love Molly. So, would you make that banana cake again?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, it seems like a good you know, it's a recipe that you're going to have all the bits in the house that you could leave out the nuts if you wanted to. And it's good that it's oil, but it's like vegetable oil.
Yeah.
So you, you know, obviously butter is expensive. So you could.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I liked it. I feel like they were good, easy, quick. I very little kind of cleaning up to do. And, you know, who doesn't love a loaf cake, especially when it's like fucking giant?
Did it just make one loaf? Or was it two?
One.
Okay, yeah, because...
She does say as well, like, you could make them into mini loaves.
Oh, cute.
And then the final thing I made was my, like, you know, test for myself. Like my, oh, let's try something pastry-y.
Yeah.
It was a pie.
Ooh.
It was the American style fruit pie.
Oh, I was looking at that.
Yeah, with apple and blackberry
yes.
filling.
How was that?
It was great. It was so, well, I'll tell you. It was, I was much more impressed with myself that I made the pastry and the filling and it turned out fine than I thought it would be. I thought it would be a nightmare. It's been, like we said, a bit hot here and I was like, oh God, this is going to be awful. I'm going to have to make this pastry and it's going to go terribly. And I was like ready for it to go badly, but actually it was fine.
Yay, that's so good.
So the pastry is, I don't know what kind of pastry you'd call this, but you use bread flour and
that's interesting.
450 grams of bread flour, 350 grams of butter, salt, ice cold water, and that's it. An egg wash, and that's it. And so you have to grate the butter.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Smart.
That was,
but was it melty?
It was, you freeze it first.
Gotcha.
So she says to freeze it for 15 minutes, but I freezed it for most of the day because I knew that I freezed it. Yeah. I would forget otherwise and then I wouldn't have. So that it was fine, actually. I mean, it was gross because I don't like the smell of butter, you know, butter on your hands. Like, I feel like you can't get it off your hands. But anyway, grated the butter. So what you do is you put the grated butter into the flour and then put it in a stand mixer and then it has to go like starting to clump but not a dough. She says that it's very important that it doesn't go into a dough.
Right.
Or you can put it in a food processor and then you add the ice cold water all at once and mix it up and then it's a dough. And then you wrap it up, put it in the fridge for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And then take a third of it out, roll it out, put it in your dish. Yeah, like a pie dish. Filling was just 350 grams of apples, 170 grams of blackberries, cinnamon, sugar, corn flour, lemons, zest of two lemons and some butter. And so the chopping for that took ages because, you know, apples take a long time. You know, you've got to core them and peel them and chop them. But it was quite fun. And blackberries and lemons. I was really worried as I was making it that it was going to be too like tart. Like I was like, oh God, it's going to like lemons and blackberries and apples. It's going to be a bit like, ooh. And when it came out the oven, I was like, oh, I don't know. But actually it was okay.
What kind of top do you do on it? Do you do like a lattice or like as a...
She says either way. She said, you can do a lattice if you want to. I did a lattice.
Oh, pretty.
I tried it. I was like, I'm going to do it. I felt like a real... You know, I want to put it on my, you know, windowsill and see, like, you know, people, like, come through there.
Following the waft smell. Of the smell. Yeah.
Yeah, I was honestly surprised at how easy I found it all. And you cook it for, like, quite a while, I guess, because all the apple and stuff has to cook. You put it on top of a already hot baking tray so the bottom cooks well. An hour and 15.
Oh, yeah, that's quite a while.
Because I thought that you would cook the filling first, but it makes sense, I guess, that you're not doing that and it all cooks together. And I was obviously worried about a bit of a soggy bottom because you don't have to blind bake it or anything. You just you just go straight in. But it all seemed okay.
Yay.
And it looked beautiful. It tasted nice. I actually gave it away because we were going on holiday. I gave it to my neighbours.
Right.
Cute. I took a piece out of it to try it, to check that it was okay.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from them since. Literally haven't seen them in over a week. They've got my plate.
This is a public service announcement. Please, they might be dead. Oh no, so, yeah. I'm sure.
I thought it was nice.
That's the most important thing.
And I was very proud of myself. We were going on holiday for a couple of days. So what I would have done if I hadn't is I still would have given it away, but I would have tried to make a custard for it to go with it.
Right, yeah.
Because, you know, warmed up with ice cream or custard, I thought that would be lovely.
The best.
Well, not for me, because I don't like custard, but I would have tried it.
Yeah,
but my instructions to my neighbours were, you know, have it with some ice cream, warm it up.
This is great. Do you feel like now you would make this again? I think feel like that's a great thing to bring to, like, I don't know, your parents or your in-laws or something,
yeah.
Right? That they would love
it. It really was. And who doesn't, like, it just really looked nice. Especially with like the lattice top, so all you saw the fruit bubbly. I'd like to like try different flavors and different, you know, combinations. Because what I very, very almost made, because it's the summer, is the what's on the next page, which is cherry and custard pie.
Oh yeah,
because cherries are everywhere, and that would have been nice. But then I was just worried that I wouldn't like it, and that it would be, you know, it's. What does she say? It's like
Gaffer Basque.
Yes, that's it. And I was like, I don't really know what that is, and I don't want to get it wrong. But anyway, definitely would make it again.
Yes.
Because the pastry felt easy. Like honestly, I didn't, apart from the grating, that was a hard bit.
I think when you have a stand mixer, it makes pastry so much easier. Like if you're standing there rubbing the butter into the flour and stuff, it gets a bit, tedious. So,
I mean, that's the thing about this book, isn't it? You need a stand mixer. Mm. Pretty much most of the recipes have that in it.
Yeah, and I don't got one. Hello, KitchenAid. Yeah. We're still looking for that sponsorship.
KitchenAid, come on.
Come on.
Anyway, tell me what you made, because that's actually more exciting than, you know, all novice dickhead who doesn't like custard here.
No, it's not more exciting, and I feel like everything has been like a low-key catastrophe for this book, because I've been in the middle of moving flat, right, and I was homeless for
a
bit.
Oven.
Oh, so the first thing I made was in my old flat, but I kind of just forgot that everything had been packed up, so I just had to work with what was left there, which was a loaf tin that was mine and like a bowl. So I was like, okay, I can't get too fancy here for this one, because everything that like required decent equipment, it had all been packed up. So the first thing I made was the ginger loaf, which is a very simple thing. The reason why I asked if yours made one loaf is because this makes two, this recipe.
Oh.
Also the reason why I wanted to make it was because I had loads of like golden syrup left in the cupboard and molasses from like baking, whatever. So, and like loads of the ingredients I already had. So made this, it's very simple. I like a ginger loaf too. I like a gingery
cake.
It's
like a carrot cake, right? It's like a nice different, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like golden syrup, black treacle, butter, whole milk, dark brown sugar, bicarb, self-raising flour. I like how she puts like the American translations in the book. And like she has like grams and ounces and cups in her ingredients, which is brilliant. Ginger, cinnamon spice, mixed spice, egg, stem ginger, finely chopped. And then she says to have it with the toffee sauce or creme anglaise, which I did not. I did not do because, you know, moving flat again. But it's very simple. You heat the syrup, treacle and butter in a pan till it's melted. Then you put the milk and brown sugar in a different saucepan and you heat that till the sugar is dissolved and the milk is steaming. And then you whisk in the bicarb of soda. And I think it's meant to puff up a bit. Mine didn't puff up that much, which was slightly worrying. Maybe I didn't have my milk hot enough, but it all still turned out okay. And then you mix the dry stuff together, the flour and the spices, you add in the treacle mixture and then the milk bit, and then you finally add in the egg and the stem ginger, and you just pour it into the loaf pans.
Oh.
You bake it for like 45 minutes. I only had one loaf tin, so I had to do one after the other.
Not yet.
But the second part kept just as well. And it was really lovely. I gave most of it away to my friend Louise, and then she froze some actually as well. I think it would keep really well in the freezer. And then, we had some and it kept really well for like 4 or 5 days, just wrapped in cling film.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, my carrot cake kept really well as
Yeah,
well.
Really good. And like, it was just nice. on its own, but again, you could have it with butter or something if you wanted, or maybe toast or play around. Again, like warm with ice cream, that would be a great thing. So I feel like that's a really good staple ginger loaf recipe.
She has a lot of that in here, doesn't she? So she's got carrot, banana, ginger. She has a lemon loaf. Like, there's a whole thing about a lemon loaf and like learning about your ovens and stuff.
It's a lot of classics. There's a lot of like staply classics in here. And then staply. And then the second thing I made, which you just mentioned, my friend, was the cherry and custard pie.
You made it. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad that I didn't make it then.
Because to your point, it's summer and there's loads of cherry around and you have to make the creme pâtissière. Oh, maybe I made three things too then, because you have to make the creme pâtissière separately. Yeah. Creme pâtissière. But oh my God, honestly, it was a fucking comedy show making this. Didn't I send you? Okay, I'm going to insert the voice note that I sent.
Yeah, Hannah sent me a voice note.
Well, I'll put it in if I can.
I'm just watching a disaster happen, is I think what I think you said.
Well, I'm in the new flat. It's fucking hot. I don't have a tart tin, so I buy one. And I went to the hardware shop and they had these like lovely ones that had like loads of holes in the tin, so you get super crispy, right? I haven't baked in the oven yet. So there was just like a few factors that were like, you know, new tin, new oven, hot kitchen. So you make the creme pat and that's totally fine. Very standard way. It's quite similar to your point the other week. Like, you make that 1,000 times in pastry school. You just have to make it for every recipe. They bloody love it. So that's fine. And that chills in the fridge for a bit. I also just like, I think I am like the hackiest baker in the world. I once made Chelsea buns in a wok. I just like,
oh, I'm I like, love that.
Never have the shit that I need. And like, because here again, I just moved in, I don't have like, and you just don't know what you don't have until you need it, right?
Yeah.
I was like, you have to put the creme pat in the fridge with cling film in contact with the top so it doesn't form a skin. And I go, like, fuck, I don't have any cling film. So I just had to use like a piping bag and like split it open and like leave it on top of the thing. And when I was baking the tart, it started getting too brown and I realized I didn't have baking parchment either. So I just threw over like a silicon baking mat over the top of it. I was just like, it was all so hacky. Anyway, so you make the pastry for this cherry and custard pie and it's a tricky pastry to work with. It's like the sweet short crust pastry that you learn in baking school that uses icing sugar and butter, and it just makes it so it's not firm. You just have to keep returning it to the fridge all the time. So this really reminded me of that. The pastry has butter, caster sugar, it's not icing sugar, but because you have ground almonds in here, it just it makes it really fatty. So I was making it and I was like, this is not going to be good in this hot kitchen. And also, because I just like to make things more stressful for myself, I was making it on a Saturday and I was going to just finish it on the Sunday. So like allowing everything the right time to chill. But then realized I was going to go around to my friend's house that Saturday night. So I was like, I'll just make the tart and I'll bring the tart. But it just put a time limit on it. So I was just like constantly putting things stressed in and out of the freezer. And it was... Lads, honestly, I learned nothing. So you make the pastry. That's grand. It was, you just mix everything together, basically. I used, I don't have a stand mixer, so I used the like retro hand whisk thing. So you cream together butter, sugar, lemon zest, almond extract I left out because I just don't really like the taste. I find it really overpowering. And then you sieve. I didn't have a sieve. Then you put in the dry ingredients and you beat it into the butter mixture. And she says it makes a loose dough and it looks a lot like cake batter. But don't worry, 2 exclamation marks. Scoop the dough out into cling film. Again, into a piping bag and lay flat in the fridge for at least a few hours or preferably overnight. So like mine was in the freezer for like an hour because, you know, I was just hacking it all the way. And then you have to
jingle first.
Hack it all the way. Then you, once it's chilled, you line your tart case and you pipe. You put that back in the fridge for a bit, so back in the freezer. And then you pipe in the creme pat into the tart case, which is very like pastry chef. You could probably scoop it in and like level it out. And you dot over the cherries in an even layer. So I added more cherries than she said, because when you dotted them, it wasn't like the top was full of cherries, and I quite like, this only thing I would change, and I guess it's a personal preference, but it's like the ratio of custard to cherry.
Yeah.
I would like that to be 50-50, if not more cherry than custard.
Yeah, especially in cherry season, right? When they're in and they're delicious. I mean, you've got to spend your whole fucking time pitting them. That's the problem. Oh,
they're such a little balls, aren't they? Anyway.
They are little balls, they're red balls.
So then you roll out the top of the pastry. And again, it was just like, oh, God, it was all just so melty. This is all my fault, by the way. This is not the recipe's fault. This is me being an idiot, rushing it, doing it on a hot day, not taking my time.
Because a gâteau basque, right, is like all enclosed, is what when I Googled it. Like, it's a whole...
It's like a baked custard pie, cake kind of thing, because you have a layer of pastry on top as well. So you have like pastry on the bottom, you pour in creme pat. Well, it's quite firm at that point. You like put in creme pat and then you put more pastry on top and you do this kind of design of like crisscross with forks. It's like one of the things you learn first. So I guess this is like that, but with cherries on, which are needed, by the way. Like, the gâteau basque is not that nice. It's like the French. Some of the shit's weird. So, yeah, you put the top on. Again, that was just like, it was falling slightly to pieces. And I was just like, deep breaths. It's going to be okay. I can just, like, totally tack this up. And honestly, it was fine. It did look fine. But the real disaster came. She says, once you have the lid on, you're meant to put it in the fridge. And she says you can leave it there overnight, which was my original plan. Anyway, that's fine. So I put the oven on.
I feel as though you've really set this story up well. And we're going to get back to these holes from the hardware store.
You're fucking right. You are 100% right.
She put the gun in, in act one. And they're back, baby. It's gonna go off.
Can I also throw in that in my new oven, because it's a rented, it's not a new oven, it's a rented flat, there's no signs on the dials. So like I didn't know what was fan oven on the first day. And I thankfully have an oven thermometer, because fuck knows what number I'm turning that dial to every time. This is like I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, you should let the tart chill in the fridge for an hour. That didn't happen. Put it into the, you egg wash it and you can score it if you want, and you put it into the oven. And I just watched as like these like little drops of pastry just kept hitting the oven floor because they were falling through these holes. And it was like nothing I could do. You're just standing powerless. And it was fucking hilarious, to be honest. Oh, and I'm just, that's when I sent this voice note to Vic of just being like, oh my God.
I'm just watching this disaster happen.
Oh my God. The funniest fail is happening right now on this fucking bake for Ravneet. I'm just watching some carnage through the oven. Oh God.
Like, what can you... I should have, in retrospect, put like some foil or something under. But again, I did not have foil because I just moved into this flat. And do I have a flat baking tray? No. So like, it was just like nothing I could do. Thankfully, it just kind of chilled out after a bit. Effectively, it created loads of tiny circular little biscuits on the floor of my oven, which I kind of like did munch as I like cleared them out. I took a photo of this carnage as well, which we're going to have to just put on the Instagram. In the end though, also the top browned really fast because this oven, I don't know what the fuck it is. I might have had the grill on there. I have no idea. So she says you should bake it for 45 to 60 minutes. Mine only was in there for about 35 minutes and it was done because my oven was so hot. And miraculously, after all of this...
It was delicious.
It was great. Yeah, tasted really good.
That's because you're pro, mate.
Well,
that's because you can troubleshoot. Yeah. If that was me, I'd be like, I threw this in the bin.
It chilled out a bit and the bottom was slightly soggy, but I guess that's because effectively it was probably just creme pat at that point. Like, I think that bottom layer of pastry had like, you know, long gone.
Yeah,
but all in all, delicious. And I brought some to my friend's house and she says it only keeps for She said it's best cooked and eaten on the day, but I actually beg to differ because put it in the fridge and ate some the next day and it was still delicious. And because it was cold, you tasted those flavours a little bit more.
Yeah.
So yeah, I cut it myself off at two things because I thought, I can't do this again.
Yeah, but it all worked out in the end, so.
It all worked out in the end.
Happily ever after. I love yes. that. I'm happy you made that because it just it sounded like nice and but yeah, I'm glad I frankly if you struggled with the pastry, imagine my life.
It would have been fine. It was because I was rushing it. But I do think if you ever do make that or make something similar, then yeah, up the cherries because you wouldn't. I don't think.
Yeah,
you have to be a real custard lover to like the amount of creme pat that's in there.
Is there anything you wanted to make? I'm sure there was.
Lots, yeah. The deep fried apple pies, yeah. Like I said. The whole ice cream section looks great as well, but you need an ice cream maker, and I don't have that. I mean, lads, I don't have tinfoil, never mind an ice cream maker. You know, her ultimate chocolate cake.
Yes, I would like
about,
to have made that.
Yeah, it gets a lot of chat online about that, so I think it would be interesting. I was tempted to make the Viennese whirls.
Ooh.
But yeah, she said like you know you could sandwich these together with Nutella jam, curd, buttercream, or whatever you like. And I was just a bit like there was too much choice, and I just was just
you
like
be told
oh,
what
I don't
to
know.
Do.
Yeah, I was in a headspace where I needed help. But yeah, in general, I would just like to make her puff pastry. I know that sounds a bit mental, and I always say it's one of those things that's worth buying. But I just bet hers is really good. And
well, yeah, and be you know that you can do it, right?
Yeah. I'll just wait for winter for that one.
Yeah, I'd wait a few months.
No way. What about you? What did you fancy making?
I very almost gave a go, and I bought some of the stuff for it, to the peanut butter, chocolate and rum banana tart.
Yes! Why didn't I mention that? That's exactly the main thing that I wanted to make.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound so good? But like
so good.
I was like, I read the recipe a few times, and I was like, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And I was like, I'm scared.
Oh no!
And I just thought, I didn't know if I'd have enough time to do all the different bits, you know, like make, you have to make a mousse and then you have to caramelize the bananas and make it caramel. And I was just like, I don't know if I'm going to have the time in between looking after babies and various other things going on. But I would love to eat that.
Me so, too. I bet you could even the mousse on its own would just be delicious, right?
Yeah. I mean, that is obviously right up my street. And also just the caramelized bananas with, I just feel like that rum bananas, they would just be nice on top of something, you know, like on top of ice cream or something like that. So that I would also the Welsh cakes. I love a Welsh cake. It's one of my secrets that you might not know about me.
Yeah. But this very goes in line with the hot cross. You love a hot cross bun too, don't you? Yeah.
I love it. I love that shit. But you know, Welsh cakes, they're so gross and dry generally in when you buy them from the shop or whatever. So I would have liked to have tried those. Her cookies. I mean, I love a chocolate chip cookie. I'd have liked to try her ultimate chocolate chip cookies.
Yes. Salted chocolate and caramel tart looks great as well. That would be like a crowd pleaser.
She's got like a lemon curd and a lime curd.
Yes.
I'd like to give that a go. Yeah. So generally.
It's a great reference book.
Yes. Shall we rate?
Let's rate.
Let me quickly talk you through our rating system. You know, if this is your first time here, please go back and listen to our other episodes, but I will tell you about how we rate these books. So we have a very scientific rating system that includes five different points. We rate out of five, and those are as follows. Usability and accessibility. That's one. ingredients, you know, can we get them? Are they, et cetera? You get it. Aesthetics, how pretty is the book? Mm-hmm. Is it veggie friendly? And finally, inspirability. Do we want to make more things from it? Are we inspired, et cetera? And each episode, we choose a new thing to rate out of based on the chef that we are doing. So it's relevant to them. And for Ravneet, because she's so lovely and friendly and you just, you know, you feel like you're talking to a friend as you're reading this book.
Yeah.
We are going to rate out of
Babes.
She calls you babe quite a lot. And I love that, babes. So, Hannah, how many babes out of five babes are you going to give this babes book, babes?
Well, babes, I'm going to give it on usability and accessibility. I am going to give it, I'm torn between giving it a half and one, because obviously mm-hmm. the whole point is that it's teaching you, right? And yeah. she explains everything very well. But the a lot of the recipes are like quite intimidating, right? Yeah. Like, or like quite complex. So, and that's not a bad thing. It's just that, you know, you should be conscious of that if you're buying this book. Like you said, for the peanut tart, like there's loads of different steps. So I think I'm going to give it a half for that. But that's no shade. It's just they're baking projects, a lot of them. And that's great. Ingredients used, that's fine. Everything's really easy to find. Aesthetics, it's beautiful. And the pictures, you know, the photos that are there, gorgeous. And I like the font. I like the illustrations.
Yeah.
Then veggie friendly. I mean, there is some gelatin in here, but that's fine. You could use agar agar or whatever the fuck it's called. Agar agar. I think in France they called it agar agar, and I'd never understood what we call it here. So that's getting a point. And then inspirability, again, I'm just going to give a little half point here, because sometimes it was hard to, yeah, like I said, like I wanted to make puff pastry or something, and then it'd be like, but what do I do with it? Like, I would like a little bit more, just,
yeah,
why don't you try it with X on such a page, and like link up the individual recipes a little bit more. So it's getting 4 out of 5 babeses from me. Babeses. What are you giving it? Babeses. How many babes?
Babes and babes. Similar, but not exactly the same. For usability and accessibility, I am giving it a 1.
Oh, yeah.
I'm giving it 1 out of 1.
Okay, great.
because, yeah, it's a teaching book. I feel like it sometimes it is a bit scary, but that's the point. Pastry's scary, right? That's how I feel. I feel like you can't get away from some bits being hard.
True.
And I feel like she's a very good teacher. It did make me want to buy one of her Damson Academy
lessons.
Things. Yeah. They're not very expensive. They're like £100 for like basic pastry. And then, anyway.
Yeah.
For ingredients, I'm giving it 1/2.
Oh.
Because some of the things just, you know, are difficult to find or a bit pricey, you know, like gelatin, for example. Like it's probably fine to find. Yeah. And like, you know, also she talks a lot in the beginning about, you know, finding butter with X amount of fat and that. It's like, how do I access that?
Yeah,
and like
yeah.
also in the chocolate section, which we haven't really talked about, but there's a big chocolate section, you know, getting good quality chocolate to cook with is hard. Mm. That, you know, it's hard to find, but it's also very expensive.
Yeah.
And like the things like, you know, cherries and different fruits are expensive. You know, we're in a cost of living crisis. you know, so I think it feels a bit, maybe that half should have come off accessibility, because also you do need like a KitchenAid. And,
yeah,
you know,
true.
You need stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
Aesthetics, I'm also giving it 1/2. Ooh. Because we know how I feel about pictures.
Interesting.
I feel like there could have been more diagrams.
Okay, yeah.
And more, you know, like she talks about like what you made, the cherry pie, like a gâteau basque. I don't know what that looks like.
Sure.
I had to go and Google it to see what it looked like. And so, but maybe if I was trying to be a pastry chef, I would know, but I don't.
Yeah. That's fair.
1/2 of that. And then veggie friendly, yeah, it gets a 1. Mm-hmm. And inspirability is also getting 1 because I do feel like there's lots I wanted to try. And I feel like I did it. Having this book encourages me to want to do more pastry stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and chocolate stuff and all that stuff. So stuff.
Babes.
So I'm also giving it 4 babes out of babes.
Oh, babes. Excellent babes.
Yeah, so we're both giving it 4, but for different reasons.
It's a good varied view, great. I think.
Yeah, so we're different perspectives.
Tell very different perspectives, babes. Next book.
Next book. We are moving away from baking.
We are. And this one, I feel like, got suggested quite a lot when we asked people what they wanted to see, which is exciting.
I'm very excited about this one.
Well, it is like...
For reasons that you will understand.
Yeah, possibly your favourite continent, would we say?
It is. So our next book is To Asia With Love by Hetty McKinnon.
Yay!
Also very internet famous, would you say?
Yeah.
Like, writes for the New York Times, writes for various other bits. Like, I think she made her name on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
And
well, that'll be your job to find out.
My job to find out. I didn't know this before I got the book, but it's all, they're all vegetarian.
Oh, yay. I didn't know that either. I just ordered it last night.
I think so. It doesn't play on that at all, but I've read through it a few times and I've looked at the ingredients and I was like, oh, that's so cool. And but she's, yeah, big fan of vegetables. And but you don't think about Asian food with in that vein. So it's more like East Asian food. It's a lot of like Chinese, Japanese,
yeah,
Korean, I want to say, foods.
It'd be interesting to contrast it with Mirasoda East then, right? Because yeah, it sounds like similar. Ooh, I'm excited for Hetty. It's going to be good.
Too.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Do you know what else I wanted to say as a closing note?
Oh, please.
Is there any greater joy than hand washing a whisk?
On that note,
when you like swirl,
we'll put that on Instagram.
When you just like fill the sink with hot bubbly water and then you get to whisk the bubbly water
into a bubbly meringue.
Yeah, and then you lift out the whisk and it's clean because you've whisked it clean.
That does sound good.
I'll go now.
Also, I would, on whisks, I keep meaning to buy myself a mini whisk to make a roux and sauce for mac and cheese.
Oh.
Because I make that quite a lot and I feel like that's what I need, you know, like a mini one, or like one of those ones that, like, you know, it's all round, twirly around the outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's just doing a very strange. Someone needs to open a whisk shop called Whiskey Business and then they'll send that to you.
It can be next to Top Bun.
They're both Tom Cruise. He'll like slide in his socks into Whiskey Business. Okay.
We're trying to think of another one here, but I can't. So I was trying to think of a Scientology one.
Cherry Maguire.
That's your pie from this.
Oh, God. Okay, we'll leave now. Thank you for listening.
Scientology. I don't know any more Tom Cruise films, so I've gone for, you know, a personal attack on his religious beliefs. Scientology.
Thank you for listening.
That's my religion.
Talk to you later. Bye. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please do subscribe and leave us a review as it helps others to find us. You can see how recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle. And if you make anything from the books we talk about, don't forget to tag us. See you next time. Bye!